Hey everybody, Mike Linville here from Black Dog Marketing, and welcome to this installment of Building a Six-Figure Pet Business, an expert interview series on what it really takes to build and grow a six or seven-figure pet business. Now, we've got experts from every corner of the pet industry, from retail and blogging and services and everything in between. And I'm really excited about today's guest. So today, we've got Kim Vaughn from Roughhousing. Kim, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. I'm glad we were able to connect on this. So before we get started and getting into my 2020 type questions, can you just take a couple of minutes and tell us a little bit about your business? How long ago did you get started? Where are you guys at now? We don't need exact numbers, but you know, just how many employees, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure. We purchased this business in 2008, and at the time it was a small business. We had about six employees, one full-time manager, five part-time employees. We had about 10 dogs a day coming for daycare. And we just kind of kept growing and growing, and we now have three large locations, and then a grooming shop. Our full-service locations, we have two in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and then one in Greensboro, North Carolina. And we average about 100 dogs a day in each of those locations. And so we're kind of a medium-sized business in the industry, I would say. And we have 160 employees now. So it's been a pretty fast growth since 2008. Mm-hmm. Never a boring day.
Yeah, that's enough stuff. There's just too many fires to put out there. That's crazy. So in 2008. So now here's my question. You said we bought this in 2008. Was it just you when you started, or did you have partners?
Actually, when I started, it was my husband and I, so who is now my ex-husband. So it is just, I am the sole owner of the business now. but it's great, and I have a great team, which okay. is definitely been the key to the success of the business is hiring a good team of people to work with.
Gotcha. So now, one of the things that we find is that a lot of the people that are going to be coming through this process, this series, are they're going to be in one of two different camps. So they're either going to be relatively new to the business, so they're watching this interview series to try to find out like where the minds are, like where are the things that they should avoid. Or the other camp of folks, I guess, are going to be people that have been doing this for a while, and you know they're trying to do it all themselves. They're like burning the candle at both ends. They know that they need to break through, but they just aren't sure what those steps are going to be. So, when you first got started, you bought this business. When you bought this, did you get into it because you were like, this business is going to be great? I know that this business is going to be able to generate X amount of dollars. So did you take a look at it from like a financial standpoint, or was it really a passion that I want to work with dogs, this is a good opportunity, let's go for it?
I had a very different expectation about what the business was going to become when we purchased the business. You know, my thinking was that if we had a full-time manager, I could stop by once a week, just check in, and you're laughing because you know the reality.
Yeah.
So I got in there, and of course, the business, I made a lot of changes in the business pretty quickly, and we did some things to the building, and changed a lot of things with the staff, started systematizing it. I came from a business background. I was an actuary in my previous role, and then I've worked in executive benefits for a while. So I have kind of I created a lot of checklists and systems in the business, and I think that has definitely helped doing that from the very beginning. And kind of that has certainly helped the business grow, and also looking at it from what do our clients want, not from what's convenient for us to provide, but what are our clients' needs. At the beginning, it was a daycare only operation, so we quickly learned that our clients wanted some overnight boarding, so that was something we added, and so that kind of helped us grow, and we were able to start in a building where we owned 25% of that, or we were leasing 25% of that, so we were able to grow into 75% of the building, do some renovations, and then grow into 100% of the building, and then move to a second location and then a third location. But I do see that a lot in this industry is people feeling, I've got to do it all myself.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not there, it's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is hard not to feel that way, especially about a business that you have grown yourself and it's your baby. And but I think that is definitely a key to being able to grow your business, is to be able to put some systems in place and put some checks and balances in those systems,
mm-hmm.
so that you feel like it'll be okay if I'm not there.
Yeah.
And I've been working, I've gone through the training program that Susan Briggs is doing, and she talks a lot about that, and that training program has been very helpful as well.
Yeah, no, I love Susan. She's fantastic. I highly recommend her and any of the programs that she puts together. She's just fantastic. One of the interesting things, and that was, it's funny that you said, I was laughing because, you know, you don't ever see those commercials for like, hey, this is what it's really like to grow a business, because if anybody knew what it was like before they got into it, they would never do it. It's kind of like, you know, if men had to have babies, it wouldn't happen, right? They just wouldn't go through the process. But one of the things that you mentioned that I thought was really interesting and really it's crucial for growth, and this is something that we had, was that control issue of, oh, I feel like I've got to do it myself, or if I bring somebody on, you know, maybe they're not going to do it the right way, or maybe they're not going to do it the way that I do it. So was that one of the systems that you integrated personally? How do you make sure that you maintain a high level of quality while still letting somebody else do the work?
It was interesting. You know, I can kind of look back at my personal growth pattern, and I see, you know, I used to do all of the jobs, and then I started letting, you know, people be the what we call playroom attendants. And I just worked at the front desk, so I let go of that job. But you know, having worked in that job for a long time, I was able to say, okay, these are the things that we need to do, and feel comfortable that I could put checklists together,
mm-hmm.
that say, okay, you know, we have to mop the floors, we have to, you know, do these things, and here's how to manage the dogs, and you could put training programs in place. And so, you know, I created an operations manual for the playroom attendant job. And then I have had since then many, many managers and people that have worked in our organization go back and review and improve and tweak, mm-hmm. that operations manual and those training programs for that. And then, you know, we did the same thing for the customer service role. And then we created a lodging specialist role. And so, you know, now we have created training manuals for each role and an operations manual for each role, and we have training programs and checklists, and then you have checks and balances in there, so if somebody misses putting down that bowl of water for that dog, somebody else is going to catch that.
Yeah.
And so you can feel confident that even if you have somebody in the position that's not doing what they're supposed to do, somebody else is going to catch that.
Right. Now, do you find that when you have all of these systems in place that it's a lot easier to bring new people on as well?
Oh, absolutely. Right. We have really streamlined our training programs too as well, so that helps with a couple of things. One, you're giving consistent information.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel confident that all of your new employees are getting the same information, they're getting correct information, and you're not relying on a person to train that person. Mm-hmm. I mean, we certainly, they go through this, we kind of have some online modules and training programs, but then they work with a person who has been trained to train them in the playrooms and do the hands-on and type training. But I think that is definitely important to make sure they're getting consistent information and that you can get them on more quickly, especially, mm-hmm. you know, when you grow to the size that we are, you do have turnover and you're hiring, and, you know, we're hiring 2 or 3 people a week. So,
yeah,
you've got to, you know, that's a lot of training time invested.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, that's funny because I did the exact same thing for the longest time when I was building my business. I felt like, you know, my customers were the most important thing to me. I feel like business is all about relationships and that nobody was ever going to take care of my customers the way that I would do it. Now, looking back at it, it was fully, you know, ego-driven and all that other stuff. And then I had a business mentor one time tell me, he says, you know, look, it's not really about who they talk to. It's about what result they're going to get, because that's, at the end of the day, what people are interested in. They want the result. And then I had to realize and look and say, you know what, even though some people may not necessarily do it the way that I do it, they still get the end result. And God forbid, they may actually even do it better. You know, they may even be nicer on the phone or whatever the case may be. So that was tough. But yeah, those checklists are... those are key. Those are huge time savers, because, you know, then you don't have to answer every single, you know, you don't have to, did you follow the checklist? Yeah, perfect. Bye-bye. You know, it's ready to go. I love that. Now, one of the things that you also mentioned there is part of your personal development. So we know that as you go through and you start to build a business and you expand and you start bringing people on, there's kind of a little bit of a struggle with control. But there's also, you know, we've got to kind of replace that with something. Now, you mentioned personal growth. Did you have a business coach? Do you have a mentor or something that kind of helps you through this process?
I wouldn't say I have one specific person, but, you know, I have met so many different people throughout this process that have been, you know, I feel like I have a whole team of support of mm-hmm. people out there from all different, you know, walks of life and from different areas. And you know, people I've met at these conferences have also been very inspirational and helpful. And I think to kind of go back to one of your points, it is really important to be able and willing to hire people that are smarter than you are. And better at things than you are. And you learn very quickly how beneficial that is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to have a team of managers that I work with and I love to work with every day, I mean, they are bringing amazing new ideas that I wouldn't have thought of. And to be able to, you know, just kind of, I feel like more of a quarterback mm-hmm. than the person that's doing everything. I'm just kind of coordinating. And let them, you know, hey, that's a great idea. Let's do this, and let's make sure we're thinking through this, but run with it. And I think that has helped us definitely grow. And you know, I have to be careful not to be a bottleneck and say everything has to come through me, and I have to check off everything.
Yeah, no, being able to have somebody on your team that is kind of pulling in the same direction as you are, incredibly valuable, because then you know, like, oh, they're thinking about things that I may not even be thinking about. Or again, like you said, I don't want to be the bottleneck. I don't want to be the thing that's slowing down growth or anything else like that. That's, you know, that's really all about hiring. So now when it comes to hiring, is that something that you said you're hiring a couple people a week? Are you just always putting posts out and always looking for new people?
We are. In fact, I have someone on our team, and it is her job just to hire people. What she does is she goes through, I mean, we get probably 100 to 150 resumes a week, so she's sifting through those. She's picking out, you know, sifting down through the resumes. She's doing phone interviews, and then she is dividing those up for in-person interviews. Our general managers at the locations, or their senior managers, who are their second in command, will do the actual in-person interviews and mm-hmm. make the hiring decision. But she does that first kind of rung of elimination.
So it's largely a kind of an offline process. It's kind of a manual. They submit resumes, and then you have a process that you work through internally?
No, it's almost all online. It's all almost online resumes. We get a few paper applications, but for the most part, it's online.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you try to do that offline, that's my hat's off to you, because that would be just...
That's a lot of paper.
that's a lot of paper to wade through, for sure. So one of the things that you talked about early on was, we talked about systems, and we talked about kind of the systems that you've got for training. Can you tell us about some of the other systems that you feel are important for people as they're growing and expanding?
Sure. I think one thing that's really important to our day-to-day business is a scheduling system. Mm-hmm. We use a scheduling system called Shift Planning, and it's been extremely helpful to us, because we can have all of our locations on the same system, but they have each individual location, and our managers can do their planning online. It's a cloud-based system, and then employees can electronically change shifts. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I'm scheduled to work Wednesday morning and I have something come up and want to trade with you for Wednesday afternoon, and, you know, so we can just switch that online and a manager approves it. And it, so that has been a great time saver for us. It's been a very important system. It also is our communication tool. So we can send out messages to all of our employees, and we do a memo, we call our payroll memos every other Friday when our paychecks come out. Our general managers send them it's kind of like a newsletter where they get all the information about what's going on in the company and, you know, remember to do this or, you know, different information, little pointers to for how to manage the dogs in the playroom.
Yeah.
Those types of things. So it's a great tool. We've been very happy with that tool. You know, we use Prezi's for our online training, mm-hmm. and that's been very helpful. And for our online, you know, we have meetings and so forth. That's been a great tool to use.
Cool. No, yeah, it's awesome when you find a piece of software that actually does what it promises. You know, because a lot of times you try them and then you're like, if it just did this, or this. So when you have one that you're really happy with, you're like, you sing its praises, right?
Yeah, we have been through a lot of trial and error with a lot of different software programs.
No, I hear you, and it's interesting because I know I've talked to people. I mean, we talk to people that run the gambit from, you know, solopreneurs all the way up to larger businesses like yourself, and it's amazing that sometimes people just, it's not even that they don't know, it's like they don't know what they don't know. So to even know that there's software out there that will let them do this is like, can be just a huge light bulb for a lot of different people. So now you currently have three locations?
Right.
Okay. What's on the
three in a grooming shop.
Three locations in a grooming shop. So what's in the future for you guys? Are you still kind of continuing that upward growth?
We are. We're still looking to continue to grow. One of our challenges is that in our two Winston-Salem locations, we're full almost every weekend, which is an awesome problem to have.
Yeah.
But, you know, so we're kind of looking at some options there of how to, you know, accommodate more clients in Winston-Salem. But we're also looking at other locations as well. So, yeah, we're not slowing down just yet.
Nice. No, that's great. And I love when when we have conversations like this and everything just is kind of clicking for people. It's a great place to be in. That's the feeling when you think about, yeah, I want to be my own business owner. I want to do this. I want to be the captain of my own ship. That's what everybody's is aspiring to be. So I really appreciate your time today, Kim. I don't want to take up a whole lot more, but you know, for like I said, a lot of these people that are going to be watching this series, they're either brand new and they want to know where the warnings should be, or they're kind of coming up against some challenges. They're burning it at both ends. They're getting stressed out. They're getting frustrated. They're getting burnt out. If you had a couple of pieces of advice that you could, if you were sitting down with somebody, that you would give them, impart on them, say, look, these are the, if I had to do it all over, here are the three things that I would make sure that I did first. What would those three things be?
That's a good question. I know that one thing that is important is, again, hiring smart people. Mm-hmm. And again, building that team is so critical. And it's not just building a team of people that, you know, I would caution you against hiring just people that have dog experience. It's important to have people that have their hearts in the right place, that are fun to work with, that are positive. And I would say that's probably the second point, is really keeping that positive work environment. Mm-hmm. and keeping a positive attitude yourself and keeping that positive attitude around you. There's hard days. There's always hard days. Yeah. And there, you work 70 hours a week, and that's, you know, more the norm than not. Mm-hmm. But it's enjoying what you do and just loving it, thinking about how great those dogs are and how great those clients are. And then I would say the third thing would be really looking at it from your client's perspective. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times in this industry, people are very prone to, well, you know, that's not convenient for us, or we're not going to do that because, you know, that's too hard, or, you know, if we do that for this person, then everybody's going to want us to do that. And mm-hmm. I think it's really put yourself in those clients' position and think about what it's like to be, you know, on your way home from work after that long day, and how can you solve your client's problems?
Yeah. No.
I think you look at it from that perspective and what you would want for your dogs as a client, I think that can also be beneficial as well.
No, that's great. I love that. And I actually lied. I actually have one more question. That what you just said reminded me that you talked early on, and then you just mentioned it again, talking about looking at it from the client's perspective. Now, do you have some sort of a process in place? Like, do you do customer surveys or something like that? So how do you find out what the customers are really looking for? Do they just tell you, or do you pull it out of them?
Yeah, I don't have an official survey process. I think that would probably be a great thing to do. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think that's something that is important to me. I always try to, you know, be available and check in and check out. You know, I'm always trying to be at each of the locations at least once or twice a week at check in and check out and just be available to listen to them. And you know, our managers, our general managers also build relationships with those clients. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing we talk about a lot as a company is just being attuned to those clients, listening. And you know, that's where we get some of our ideas of what to do differently, because the client's like, wow, it'd be really great if you guys did this, and really taking that feedback seriously.
Oh yeah, and one of the things that we found was really beneficial was we actually implemented a customer satisfaction survey that we sent out, and you know, you ask the typical questions, you know, on a scale of 1 to 5, blah 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 blah, was it great or excellent or poor or whatever, but we always leave one question that's an open ended question so that we can they can just free type in what they want, and that thing it's like a gold mine. I mean, just the nuggets that are coming out of there, because that's people telling you exactly what they want. I mean, sometimes they're just unrealistic. Sometimes, you know, customers are wackadoos or whatever, but sometimes there's some really good stuff in there. So, yeah, no, that's something that that I know that's worked really well for us. So I really appreciate it. So now, Kim, obviously we're recording this, so we're going to go ahead and post this out. If anybody has questions for you, if anybody wants to try to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Probably my email address is the easiest. It's just kim@roughhousing.com. Pretty
okay.
Simple.
Cool. Well, great. Kim, thank you very much. I really appreciate you coming out today. It was an awesome conversation.
Well, thanks for having me on here.
Not a problem. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.